Chav Gimel. Okay, in your
23A1.
Okay, the Gemara is now discussing, we're coming to two pages to the end, by the way. The Mishnah was discussing the process of giving somebody malchus, lashing them. So it said he had to bend over and he was tied down and they tore his garments and he had to humiliate the person. That was all part of the process.
So what? Two pages from the end?
Yeah. Well, two full pages from there. So the Gemara explains, my time, what's the reason why the Torah seems to say that you have to humiliate somebody when you give a malchus? So the Gemara answers, Mishum Nikla, because it says in the Torah that one should be demeaned, V'nikla achicha le'inecha, and therefore they had to do things to humiliate the person. That's why they ripped his clothing, had to bend down, and, you know, the whole process. Then the Gemara says another thing. Amar Rav Sheshes Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Rav Sheshes said, in the name of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, all the way on top of the page. Minay l'ratzua she'ishal egel. And the Mishnah said that the strap that they whipped the guy with was made out of calf skin. So the Gemara says, where do we see in the Chumash that the belt to whip the guy should be from calf skin? So he says, Mishum Shevdechsib, because it says in the Pasuk, our boy, Miakenu, give him lashes, 40 lashes, v'samachle, and the next Pasuk right away says, v'sachsim shor b'dishay, you cannot muzzle an ox during his threshing. Okay? So therefore, the fact that the Torah puts two sentences next to each other teaches us there's a connection between the two. Now, what can possibly be the connection between whipping somebody and not muzzling an ox when he works? So the Gemara learns the connection is that the strap that you whip somebody with comes from an ox, meaning a calf skin. And then the Gemara says, "Va'amar Rav Sheshes Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah." Rav Sheshes said the name of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. And the reason why they're quoting it is, again, it's the same person, and he's also saying what we learn out from a hekish, from a connection of two psukim, one next to the neck, then the other. And he says, "Minayin liyavam shenafla l'chnei mukeshchin." How do we know? There's a din was called yibum. What's yibum? If a man dies without children, okay, so his brother has to marry the widow, and if he doesn't want to marry, she doesn't want to marry him. So then they have to do what's called chalitza. You know, you take off the shoe and the spit and all the whole process. So he says, how do we know that if Yavama, this widow, and the brother of the deceased is full of boils, that he's repulsive to her? And the widow doesn't want to marry the guy. So how do we know that Bezdin doesn't like pressure her to marry him? I would think it was a mitzvah of Yibum. Bezdin said, come on, you have to do it anyway. So how do we know that the Yavama Shanaf Lufnei Mukeshchin, that a Yavama that fell in the front of a Mukeshchin, meaning a guy full of boils, Shein Chayis Min Esa, you did not muzzle her, meaning you don't force it to marry the guy, because it says, Leisachsim Sher B'dishe, you cannot muzzle an ox when he threshes, V'samachle, and right after that is, Ki Yesh V'achim Yachtov, if two brothers will sit together, live together, and one dies without kids, the other one has to do the yibum. So now there's three psukim here. One says get whipped, the laws of whipping. Then it says don't muzzle an ox when he's working. Now the Torah says cruelty to an animal if while he's working he can't eat. So you're not to muzzle the ox. And then the Torah says the din of yibum. Okay? So Rav Sheshes, in the name of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, is explaining what's the connection between these three. The first one, whipping, is connected to the ox to teach us that the whip comes from ox skin, calf skin. And then what's the connection between not muzzling an ox to the din of Yibum? That if the woman doesn't want to marry the brother-in-law, you don't force her. It's very simple. It's just connecting them.
She doesn't need to have a reason, does she?
No, if she... You can't force her to marry him if she doesn't want. In fact, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in Yevamis, when the Gemara speaks about, you know, there's two options. Okay, what happens, a guy is married to a woman, he dies without kids. Okay, she cannot marry anybody until, even though she's a widow, she can't marry anybody unless one of two things are done, either Yibum or Chalitza, right? Either she marries the guy, or See you later.
Samson is not here?
No.
So I'll get it from you tomorrow or something.
Okay.
$10.
Thank you.
Or chalitza. What is chalitza? She goes to Beis Din. It's a whole process. Two blocks down.
Thank you.
So therefore, or you do chalitza. So the way it works, let's say there's five brothers, right? You go to the oldest brother first. You say, you want to marry her? If he says yes, fine, he marries her. If he says, I don't want to marry her, go to the next brother. You want to marry her? If he says yes, you marry her. If not, you go all the way down the list. What happens if all of them hate her? So you say, no. So then you go back to the oldest brother, and say, listen, guy, it's your responsibility. Either marry her or chalitza her. But you can't let this woman sit not able to get married for life. So it's your obligation as the oldest, either marry her or chalitza.
What does that mean?
Chalitza is a process that they do. They go to Beis Din, they take off a shoe, and they spit. The Torah discusses the whole, it's all the complicated process. One second. But the Gemara says, sometimes Beis Din advises the couple whether they should get married or not. Okay? Because you can have a woman who is 60, widowed without kids, and the younger brother could be 20. Right? So you can tell a 20-year-old to marry a 60-year-old lady.
Neither would marry one another. No way.
Well, in today's world, they do.
No, they don't.
The rich ones, they do.
Okay. Not 40 years difference, man and woman. And a woman is 40 years older.
They don't marry today. These 80-year-old men don't have 40-year-old wives?
That's different. But not
the same. It depends who has more.
It depends who has more money. 60-year-old woman.
So over there, Beis Din would advise to do chalitza. Understand? So sometimes Beis Din would advise chalitza, advise Yibum. But again, force her. In fact, that's the din. The Gemara is learning. You can't force the woman to marry a guy if she doesn't like him. And the Gemara says even another thing. What happens if the guy in the olden times, this is the example that I'm mixed on from the Gemara, there were guys that used to collect the dog manure. Okay? It was a dirty, pardon the expression, stinky job. Okay? So the men would smell, basically. You know? Or whatever, yeah. Any of these types of demeaningful jobs. And if he died, and the brother, let's say, has the same job, she has a right to say, listen, from the older, my husband, I was able to handle it. From you, I can't. You know, you can't muzzle the woman. That's what the Gemara is learning here. You can't muzzle the woman to marry the guy if she doesn't want. What?
What about in the case with Yehuda's youngest son? I mean, couldn't they have forced him?
It was before Matan Torah, don't forget, everything was different. Okay, now he says another interesting halacha. This is all Rav Sheshes in the name of Rav Elazar ben Azayah. V'am Rav Sheshes mishum Rav Elazar ben Azayah. Kol ha-mevazeh sameyadim, whoever degrades the chagim, the holidays. And as Rashi explains, the Mefarshim explains, it doesn't mean Yom Tov. It means Chol HaMoed. And this, by the way, in Pirkei Avos, it says the same thing. Hamavasis Hameyadim. If you shame, degrade the Yom Tov, refers to Chol HaMoed. So he says, Kol Hamavasis Hameyadim, whoever degrades the Yom Tovim. Meaning, they refer to it as a weekday. You know, they make it like a regular weekday. It says, Ki'ilu Eved Avedis Kochavim Mazolus. It's like worshipping idols. Why? Because it says, Elekei Masech Olei Sasalach. Because the pasuk says, don't make any idols. And right afterwards it says, as Chag HaMatzis Tishmer, keep the Yom Tov of Pesach. Okay? So they bring down over here that the Rambam Taka learns this Gemara to mean Yom Tov itself. But most of the Shainim disagree with the Rambam, and they learn, HaMevazes HaMeyadeis, Rashi says is Chol HaShemayit, Chol HaMeyit. So Rashi learns, like a lot of most of the Shainim learn, that this refers to if somebody degrades Chol HaMoed, they don't treat Chol HaMoed like a holy day. It's like they're worshipping idols. V'amad Rav Sheshes Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azayah. According to this Gemara, we should all be thrown to the dogs. Monday, you see the Gemara. Amar Rav Sheish Mishum Rav Lozer Ben Azayah. Kol HaMesaper Lashon Hara, whoever speaks Lashon Hara, V'chol HaMekabel Lashon Hara, whoever accepts Lashon Hara as is true, V'chol HaMeid Eid HaShekher, whoever bears false witness, Roy Lashlich LeKlovim, deserves to be thrown to the dogs. If you speak Lashon Hara, you accept Lashon Hara, you bear false witnesses, testimony, you're fit for the dogs. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Lakelav tashlicha naisei," about the tray for meat, throw it to the dogs, and right away it says, "They cease Hashem Hashav," do not accept false listening, and it says, "Don't read it leisasi," that read it also leisashi of its meaning should not cause a false report to be accepted. Meaning, it refers to not only listening to a false report, but causing a false report to be heard. So that means speaking Lashon Hara, listening to Lashon Hara, any of these things, you're fit for the dogs. But
why can't they give lashes for speaking Lashon Hara? They couldn't give lashes for it?
It's a lav, it's 16 lav, but it's not an action.
Oh, it's a Lashon Hara.
It's dibur, no action. What is it, a mitzvah? in what do we call it? In the Chofetz Chaim, we got 16 lavim, 8 lavim. Sure, it's a lavim. Leisisa Shem Hashav, by the way, is also, the Gemara learned over here, is a lava, not making somebody speak Lashon Hara. Okay, now the Gemara says, Ushtei Ratzuis, now it says in the Gemara like this, there was the primary strap. The primary strap was made out of calfskin. And then they had running along it two donkey straps. That's what it said in the Mishnah. So the Gemara explains why donkey. Okay, calves we learned because it says whipping, and right next to it says about don't muzzle the ox. Why do you put the donkey straps in it? So it says, Tana, we learned in a braise, shal chamer, they had to be of a donkey hide. Why? Like the certain person from the Golil. He said to Rav Chista, the Pasuk says, Yeshaya Navi says, Yod Asher Keneu, the axe knows its owner, V'chamer Eves Ba'olov, and the donkey knows the trough of its master. Yisrael Le'yada, but the Jews don't know God. This is, we read this in the Haftarah, right before Tisha B'Av, in Chazen Yeshayo, when he's speaking, admonishing the Jews. So he says, the donkey knows its owner, the ox knows its owner, and the Jews don't.
Exactly.
1 minute. So therefore, what does it say? If a donkey knows its owner, and this guy that sins, that's getting whipped, doesn't know God, so to speak, because he did an Aveda, so he deserves to be whipped with a donkey strap. What?
When I was growing up, every time I played ball, and my father found out, he was waiting for me with a conch chick at home. A strap with nine tails.
Cat or nine tails, yeah.
Oh, you know about those
yeah,
things?
Yeah, but he didn't hit you hard enough.
My butt was red for months.
Not red enough.
I didn't go to shul, played basketball, he whipped me. I didn't go to cheder, I played baseball, he whipped me.
Okay, it's good.
You gotta cry now?
You'll be quiet.
So it says, okay, that's the end of this Gemara. Then the Gemara says, Shah, Yodot Tefach. The Mishnah said it then as follows, that the strap, the handle of the strap was a tefach, and then it said the strap had to be long enough that when you whipped it over the back, it would touch the bottom of his stomach.
Wow.
Okay? So now the Gemara is going to discuss, not all people are the same height, as we know. Okay? So Amar Abaye said that if the Gemara says that it has to be, that the handle's a tefach, and it has to reach to the stomach, so Abaye said, everybody had their own size strap. That means whenever they whip somebody, Abaye is basically saying they need a custom-made strap that should be exactly the length to hit the stomach. So Amar Abaye said, Shmamino, from here you understand, Kochad v'chad l'fum gabi avdinali, that each person was made a whip corresponding with his height that it should touch the stomach. Amar Rava said, how could you have such a thing? In Cain, Nafashalurutsuas Tuva. The Bezin had to keep many whips in store. I mean, how can you have so many whips in Beis Din? So Rava learned a different way. It was a movable strap.
Adjustable.
El Amir Rava, Avkasi Isla, it had a loop. Ki boy, if they needed to, Mikta Bay, they would tighten the whip and therefore shorten it. Ki boy, if they needed, Mappa Bay, he would loosen it and make it longer.
Aren't there any good Jews in those days?
Yeah.
You sound like there weren't any good Jews.
What do you think? They whipped every Jew every day.
That's what it sounds like.
No, we weren't living then.
I know that.
Okay.
I know that you aren't.
Then the Gemara says, Shach, then the Gemara says that they whipped him 39 lashes, yeah? And the Gemara learned that any time you gave lashes, it had to be divisible by 3. Like we learned in the Mishnah, the doctors estimated, they gave him a checkup before the Malkus, how many Malkus he could handle. So the number had to be divisible by 3. That means if the doctor said he can handle 20, they gave him 18. You can't give him more, because then you can kill him. And then we learned, if you give more, then the Beis Din guy, you have to go to Golos. Right? So basically, you have to give him an amount divisible by 3. So the Mishnah says, when they gave him, why did it have to be divisible by 3? Because 1/3 they gave in the front, and 2/3 in the back. When they whipped him, 2/3 of the Makis were in the back, and 1/3 was in the front. Therefore, the strap had to go to the front, to the stomach, because they had to hit him in the front. So the Gemara says, Minohani Mili, how do we know that you have to give 1/3 on the front and 2/3 on the back? So the Gemara answers, Amar of Kahana Domekar, because the Pasuk says, Vipilu Ashefet, the judge will cast him down, Vikol Lefanov, and hit him in his front. Literally, what does it mean before? It means in front of the judge. That's the literal meaning of the pasuk. You should whip him in front of the judge. But the Gemara is learning, no, Lefanov also means in front of the person. B'mispar in the number. Now, therefore, Risha Achas Melefanov, because it says Risha say singular, okay, B'mispar, so therefore, Risha Achas Melefanov, one part, meaning 1/3, you hit him in Lefanov in the back, in the front, Shtei Rishayis, 2 parts of the lashes, Machurav on his back. So therefore, whenever they whipped him, let's say if they whipped him 18, they gave him 12 on the back and 6 in the front.
That's why it had to be divisible
by 3. Right. This is the thing. That's why it had to be... It had to be divisible by 3, okay, because they had to do 1 and 2. No, that's why they had to go over the stomach, because they had to hit him over the shoulder. Over the shoulder. There's no Rabbi Wolf's class tonight. No, Rabbi Wolf's out of town, I believe. They announced it last week, I think. But. Okay, so now, the Gemara says another thing. Yeah. It's okay. Ein Malkin, I say, the Mishnah said it then as follows. You don't whip him standing. You don't whip him sitting. You whip him bent over. When the guy was whipped, he was tied his 2 hands to pillars, and he bent over and you whipped him. So the Gemara says, Minayin l'rut amir avchis amir rabbi yechinen, avchis to say the name of rabbi yechinen, Minayin l'rut suah shi muchpelis. How do we know that the strap that you whip him with is bent over, is doubled? Shenema, because it says, v'hipilai. In other words, the word v'hipilai, if you add a chaf, it becomes v'hichpilai. And kefil is double. So the fact that the Torah didn't have to use the word v'hipilai, the Torah uses the word v'hipilai, that is similar to the word v'hichpilai, it teaches us that you have to fold it over. So the Gemara asks, but we just learned that you need it, that he has to be bent over. The Gemara asked before, how do you know the guy has to be bent over? Because it says he should be falling. That teaches us he has to be bent over. So how can you say the hipile teaches us the strap should be doubled? because it says v'hipilei teaches me that he has to be bent over, and you can't learn out two things in the same word. So how do you know that the strap has to be doubled? So the Gemara answers, im kein, if so, lichtiv krod, the Torah should have written, yateu, he should bend over. Why did the Torah have to write v'hipilei? It's an uncommon word. If the Torah wants to say he should be bent over, the Torah should have written, yatehu, bend over. Why does the Torah use the word v'hipilei? So it teaches us both things. Number one, that the guy getting malchus has to be bent over, not standing or sitting. And secondly, the strap has to be doubled. What?
In the morning in the brachot, we say zokef kefufim.
Right.
So it's interesting, they don't use the word kefufim, I mean, as bent over.
There's a lot of words in Hebrew. Kapes tamarim. There's a lot of words in Chumash called kefufim. Okay, now the Gemara says, "Bahamaka maka biyodi," and the guy hits with one hand. The Gemara is going to explain as follows: when the guy was whipping, the shliach bezim was whipping the guy. So the Gemara is going to learn like this: he picked up, he was holding the strap with both hands. He picked it up with both hands, and then he came down with one hand. Because the Gemara says it's more powerful when you come down with one hand than when you come down with two. Because two is like one hand gets in the other one in the other hand's way. And when you come down with one, so you pick it up with both hands, because the Gemara says, yeah, how did he hit him? You have to pick up the whip and then whip him. So you picked it up with two hands and you lash down with one hand. So the Gemara is going to discuss now, who was this whipper? Did he have a lot of brains or minimal brains? Was he strong or wasn't he so strong? Tan Rabbanan learned. Emamidim chazanim. Chazanim, again, we learned in the Gemara expression, a chazan is the attendant of Bezdin. He was the guy that did the work for the Bezdin. So the chazan had to be chasire kayach, lacking strength, v'yaseire made, and more intelligence. So the Gemara said the guy that whipped, according to this opinion, had to be not as strong as he was intelligent. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Afilo chasidei mada." You can have a guy that's lacking intelligence, be a sidei keach, and he can have a lot of strength. It didn't matter. But the Chachamim said you need to have a guy who has brains and not so much strength. Why? Amar Rava. So Rava explains it. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Kavosid Rabbi Yehuda misvara. It's logical that Rabbi Yehuda is right. Why? Because it says in the Torah, "Lo Yosef." Don't strike him extra. Meaning, pen Yosef lest, he will give extra. So the Gemara says like this. If the guy is foolish, okay, that's why it makes sense. You have to warn him, don't hit extra. If the guy's intelligent, he's going to know. If Bezin says 39, it doesn't mean 40. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda says, listen, and this is what Rav says. A stupid guy, you have to be clear with him exactly what to do and what not to do. Okay? So the Gemara says, if the guy was intelligent, why does the Torah have to tell you that you, lest you will add? The Torah says, don't add. It's 39. It's 39. So therefore, Rabbi says,
39, maybe 33.
The Torah says 39.
That was mandatory then?
Yeah. Unless the guy couldn't handle it. So he says, if you're going to say that the guy is not so intelligent, that's where the Torah had to add a warning. Don't hit, lest you will hit. Okay, the Torah had to say it twice, because the guy's not that intelligent. Eli, Amit, you say the Mada. But if the guy was intelligent, Mitzarech Lazuri, you have to warn him. If the Torah says once, don't do it, he'll understand it. I mean, what do you have to tell? What, is the guy stupid or something? So the question is, why do the Chachamim hold that Bezin needed an intelligent Chazan? Rav is right, that if the guy is smart, he would understand it. So this is a very famous Gemara. Ein mezarzen ela lemezeres. You quicken only those who are already quick. Meaning, like he says, warnings are of value only to people who understand. People don't understand, it's not going to help. If they don't understand, it's not going to help anyway. So the Gemara says, Rabbanan hold, you warn a guy that's warnable. That's like you add quickness to a quicken a guy who is quick.
So the executioner was called a kaha?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem that complicated, but you get to die X amount of times.
Right, but so you, let me ask you a question. Who would want such a job? It wasn't very intelligent people. You know, sometimes it's better for Beis Din to have people that are not too smart. You should know many tzaddikim, it's brought down, many tzaddikim had attendants. They would have attendants that were very stupid people. Because if they were smart people, they would get in the way, they would look and start getting into things that the rabbis wouldn't want them to get involved in. Huh? Yeah, but you know what? A foolish person doesn't understand anything. You know what I mean? It's like they say the Rebbe, the Mittel Rebbe, about the Rebbe's son, had a Shamus that wasn't smart. In fact, he called in the Hasidim once, when the Mittel Rebbe used to daven for hours. He used to face the wall, and he used to stand facing the wall for hours to daven. So one time the Shamus calls in the Hasidim, he says to a few of the Hasidim, come, you want to see the way the Rebbe davens, I'll show you. See, he brings the Hasidim into the Mittel Rebbe's room, and they see the way the Mittel Rebbe is facing the wall and he's davening. He says, come, I'll show you something. He walks over to the Mittel Rebbe and turns him around to face the people. So the Hasidim says, crazy, what are you doing? He says, the guy doesn't feel anything. Don't worry about it. Doesn't know what's coming. Doesn't know what's happening. I mean, an intelligent guy, they don't want to get involved because you start poking his nose where he shouldn't be. So the same thing with these people. The Gemara is only saying this should be a smarter person. Not, you're right. It's not a very intelligent thing. If the Torah warns you, don't hit extra, and then the Torah says, don't hit extra, it's obviously not for a smart person. Yes. And the Rabbanan hold, though, that on the contrary, you warn a person that is intelligent. No, that he had to hit with all his power.
All his power?
Yeah. Now, he also had to understand, by the way, that if he hit extra, and the guy died, he had to run to the city of refuge for life.
What if he damaged the guy? Like, why did that work?
By doing it extra, or by doing it the right amount?
Right amount.
Nothing.
No, when he hit him, the whip hit him in the eye.
I understand, but I'm saying the din is as follows. If you do what Beis Din told you to do, like Beis Din said, hit him 39, you hit him 39 and the guy died, you're completely off the hook. If Beis Din said hit him 39 and he hit him 40 and the guy died, you have to run to the city of refuge. The same thing applies, by the way, with damages. If you didn't kill the guy, but you damaged him, right? So if you did the amount Beis Din said to do, then you're not obligated in any damages. But if you went above and beyond what Beis Din said, you didn't kill the guy, but you damaged him, then you have to pay damages. Because you had no permission, then you were on your own.
Chazan paid.
But he didn't listen to Beis Din.
But he
well, that's what he did. If Beis Din says 39 and the guy gives 40, he deviated. And in fact, one second, the Gemara is going to soon say that when the guy was getting whipped, one guy was hitting, and one guy was counting. It wasn't that a guy got mixed up in the number. There was a guy saying 1, 2, 3, you know, in Hebrew I'm sure they were counting. But you can't say the guy got mixed up in the counting, because there was clearly, you know, a process. What? When you were growing up, yeah.
No, this has nothing to do with me. Speaking of punishment, and getting people to deliver punishment and criminals and prisons and what have you, Utah is the only state in the United States that uses the firing squad. They hire 12 men when a guy's going to get executed, when a prisoner is going to get executed.
Oh, we're not learning Utah now, we're learning
Torah. Well, wait a moment.
Torah,
I just
not
want
Utah.
To tell you, because you'll never believe this. Hey.
We know it.
No, you don't know. What am I going to say?
Come on, let's continue.
Wow, we're learning
Gemara.
Come on, what's the
fuck
Utah?
Okay, soon. Tana, we learned. Now the Gemara is explaining again the Mishnah. Shum Magbia, when the guy picks up his hands to hit, Magbia b'shtei yodim. He raises with both hands, the strap. Ukshum Maka, when he hits it, Maka b'yodi achas, he hits it with one hand. Ki hecha delasim ididei, that it should come with the full strength. And therefore, the Gemara says, you have to do it, mamish, with your full power. You picked it up with two hands, and you lashed it down with one hand, because then it was a stronger whip. What?
What if it hit him in the wrong spot, like in the face, or... I didn't say he hit him.
As long as he didn't do anything wrong, okay? And it was done in a way that they didn't hit him, you know, they didn't hit him in the face, he hit him in the stomach.
But if
the guy moved or whatever, but there wouldn't be chayiv. What?
I'm not familiar with this Gemara at all, but when they're...
Neither am I, by the way.
When they're administering the punishment, this is not done necessarily, I would think, intuitively, in a quick, fast way. Probably one at a time, they wait, someone checks in if there's any issue there, right? There's a shaliach.
They checked him before.
They don't check after each one?
No.
Well, who determines if it's sufficient, if the guy can take it as a physician?
Bezdin, yeah. The Bezdin had a doctor check the guy out before.
So there's a chazan there,
In fact, we're going to see, that's the next piece of Gemara. It says, HaKeder Keder, the guy reads the various psukim from Chumash. So Gemara says, Ton Rabbanon learned. HaGadol Shebedayonim, the most prominent of the judges, this is the lashing process. The most prominent of the judges, Keder reads the psukim. Hasheni, the second, mine counts. And the third guy says, hit. So there's actually three guys that, because there's certain psukim the Mishnah said you have to read when you do it. So one guy was reading the psukim, one guy was counting, one hit, two hit, three hit. And that's when, like we said, you can't make a mistake that I got mixed up in the counting because it was a clear count. Now he says as follows. Bizman shemakim meruba. Now the Gemara, the Mishnah said you have to read certain psukim when the guy is getting whipped. But the difference is, one guy could be getting three lashes, if that's all he could handle, and another guy is getting 39 lashes. Right? So obviously 39 takes much longer to give than three. So what did they do with the psukim? Because it said you had to read the psukim during the time the guy was getting whipped.
So I would guess that the more prominent your crime, the more lashes you're going to get.
No.
Wouldn't that be right?
No. You get 39 lashes regardless. Unless if a guy's not able to handle it medically, he gets less. But any Aveda, you get lashes, you get 39 lashes. Wow. It's not for certain Avedas, you get 10 or 9, and certain Avedas, you get 18. No. Every Aveda that gets whipped, it's 39. Unless if the guy wasn't able to handle it medically, so they gave him less. So it says, Bizman Shemakim Meruba, meaning, when there's a lot of lashes to give, Meirich, the Chazan would draw out the Psukim. When he read the Psukim, he read them very slowly. Bizman Shemakim Muetis, when the lashes are few, so in other words, you have to make it quicker, Mekatzer, he does it quicker. So basically, this opinion seems to hold and maintain that you read the psukim once, and you have to finish when the guy finished the Malkus. The only question is, do you read the psukim quicker or slower? Right? That's the whole difference. But the Gemara says, but that's not what it says in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, it says, that if the judge finished the psukim, he starts again. But this opinion says you don't have to start again because you draw it out to make sure you finish the psukim when you finish the malchus. So how does our Mishnah say if you finish, you start again? That shouldn't have happened. So the Gemara says as follows. Mitzvah letzamtin. The proper way of doing it is to draw it out that you finish the pasuk exactly when he finishes the whipping. But the ilav, what happens if he didn't though? Okay, he was saying it quicker than he should have. Then chayzel l'tchilas hamikra. Then he goes back to the beginning of the psukim again. So now my answer is very simple. Initially, you're supposed to do it, draw it out the psukim in a way that they finish on time. If not, start again. So now the Gemara says, Tan Rabban, this is going back to the din, you can't whip a guy extra. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabban learned, Maka Rabba, the Torah says you can't give him a great beating. Meaning you can't whip him more than he is supposed to. Ainli ala Maka Rabba. I only know that you can't give him a greater number. Maka Muetis Minayin. How do I know you can't even increase a smaller amount of Makas? Meaning as follows. The Torah says again, look at 39. Then the Torah says, don't add. So I would think, if a guy's getting 39, you're not allowed to add. But how do I know if a guy's getting 12 that you can't add? Maybe you could. So the Gemara says again, Talmud the Torah says, lo yosef, don't increase. It's an extra word, lo yosef, meaning don't increase any amount. You're not allowed to increase over the amount that Beis Din allotted for him to get. So why does the Torah say makarab if the Torah says already twice, lo yosef, don't add? So why does it say you can't add a greater number? Limit our rishonis, it teaches us that the original number, it for him, it's a great beating, meaning it's not referring to the amount of whips, the number, it's the quality. In other words, makarabba, you have to give him a gazette to hit, the intensity of it.
Didn't you say before that you go as far as you can?
Yeah, but how do you know that? This is where they know it from. This is the pasuk that they learn it out from before the Gemara is saying it. But now the Gemara is saying, where do we learn it out from? Because the Torah says, Makarabba. Okay, now the Gemara continues. The Gemara is discussing as follows. What happens in the middle of the Malkus, the guy soiled himself, either with urine or bowel movement. So the Torah says, once that happened, the guy is free. That's it. You stop, and he's done. So Gemara says as follows. Tanya Rabban, Gemara is going to say three opinions now. Echad o'ish v'echad o'isha b'reya. Both men and women are exempt from receiving malchus if they soil themselves with a bowel movement. V'loy b'mayim, but not with urine. Divided ab meir. That's what a meir holds. Meaning a meir holds, the only way you get out of it is if there's a bowel movement. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Rabbi Yehuda says no. Ha'ish b'reya, a man to be disqualified from getting any more malchus had to be with a bowel movement. And a woman, even with urine, was enough. Chachamim Eimrim, echad ha'ish, whether it's man or woman, b'ein b'reya, b'ein b'mayim, whether it's urine or excrement, whatever, they're free. They're off. Like the Chachamim. 1 minute. So the Gemara asked, though, but we learned Rabbi Yehuda Eimer Echad Ish V'Echad Ish B'Rei. In our Mishnah, it said that Rabbi Yehuda holds man and woman both with a bowel movement, and over there he differentiates between man and woman. So it's a contradiction of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok answers as follows: Shneim Shavim B'Rei. Everybody agrees that if there's a bowel movement, everybody's off. What is the difference? The difference is about the woman with urine. So the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said, if the woman urinates, then she's over. The Braisa doesn't discuss it. So it's not a contradiction. The Braisa is only talking about the bowel movement. And the Mishnah is talking about an additional din that the Braisa is not talking about. So it's not a contradiction. Then the Gemara says another interesting din. Amar Shmuel, Kavstu, if the Beis Din tied him up, and the guy got freed, and he ran away. The guy was tied, ready to get malchus. He freed himself and ran away. The din is potter. He doesn't have to get any lashes. He's freed. So the Gemara says, Mesa, I'll ask you a question. It says in a Braisa, kala, meaning, if he soiled himself, kala is an expression, he became demeaned. He became embarrassed, so to speak. So bein b'rishayna, whether it was the first stroke, or bein b'shniya, or whether it was the second stroke, pray to Neisa, he's freed. Nivsika tzua, what happens if the strap broke? What happens if the guy's whipping him and the strap broke? So b'shniya, if he already had one, meaning he's starting now the second lash, so one whipping he got already, pray to Neisa, then he's freed. But Ishaina, if he didn't get whipped yet, ain't paid to Nasi. Then he doesn't get freed. Meaning Gemara says as follows. If you whipped him once and the strap broke, bottom line is the guy got whipped. So he's free. But if you didn't hit him yet, you were about to hit him and the strap broke, then he never got Malchus yet. So then he has to get Malchus. So the Gemara says, Amai, why is he different than a guy running away? The Gemara asks a very simple question. Shmuel said, if you tie up the guy, he didn't get whipped yet at all, and he runs away, he's free. Yet the Braisa says, if you're about to whip him, and the strap broke, he still has to be, you have to get a new strap. Why is this different than running away? So the Gemara answers, what do you mean? Hasim Ratz, here he ran away, over there he didn't run away. Meaning, he says, like, no, Rashi explained very simple. Running away from court itself is demeaning. The fact that the guy ran away from Beis Din is a very embarrassing thing. So therefore, once he became demeaned, once he became embarrassed, the Torah says, you know something, huh? That's enough of a punishment. And that's why it's interesting. The Pasuk says, when it speaks about Malchus, V'nikla achicha le'inecha. V'nikla literally means became demeaned. Once he became demeaned, he's already achicha, he's back to be your brother again. So he was freed. He's lucky. Hashem made not a miracle, but Hashem made something good for him that he got out of it by becoming demeaned. What?
What type of ropes or straps do they use? Not straps, but ropes to tie his hand. Were they like made out of like?
That doesn't say.
So, would it be possible to break free? I mean,
depends how strong the guy was, I guess. Or Bezdin made a mistake and didn't tie it well. I don't know. I mean, but it doesn't say how they tied it. It wasn't important. They tied his hand. It should be tied. What?
Running away from Bezdin is considered the demeaning?
Yeah. Because people look down at him for doing that. He wouldn't do it.
So there are two principles again where a person doesn't receive his full punishment, so to speak. One is
medically,
and one is embarrassment.
If something happened along the way.
So a person soils himself, it's presumed to be because of embarrassment, not because his body came.
No, it's embarrassment.
The reason for pain that it happens.
Right. Once he became demeaned, the Torah says, you're achicha, you're back a brother again.
But didn't they already demean him when they ripped his clothing?
No.
So why the whip is so important that it breaks from what? The person is not embarrassed if it breaks.
That's what he's saying, because he's not embarrassed. Therefore, if he didn't get whipped yet, you have to whip him.
Even if he gets whipped and he hits you, is that embarrassment? You get whipped once.
Yeah, whipped by Beis Din is embarrassment.
It's embarrassment that if it breaks, sufficient to let him off?
It's not only embarrassment. It seems in the Gemara it's one of two things. Either whipping or the embarrassment. Now, normally you're supposed to have both. But if one of the two happened, then you're freed. That's why even when the strap broke, the Gemara says, if the strap broke and you didn't get whipped yet, you weren't demeaned. But if the strap broke after one, what demeaning is it?
I'd be kind of happy. I'd be very glad.
Yeah, the guy was happy. He got out of it.